Today, share the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Kuf Gimel. We're learning today Lidei Nishmas Julius Stern, Yehuda Ben Meir. All the Nishamas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. I'm dictating this on Erev Sukkos, and I wanted to wish everybody a Chag Hashem V'Sameach, and we should have a good Kvittel. Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zocha to learn together for many, many years to come. Now, begin at the new Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Omer Aleph, about 15 lines down. The Mishnah tells us, Almona She'omra, if the Almona says to her husband's heirs, the Yorshim of her husband, after Nebuch, the husband, passed away, so she's entitled to be supported by the estate. That's part of the Tanai Ksuba. So, if she lozus mi beis bali, she says, I do not wish to go and leave this house. I've been living in my husband's house, Nebuch, he passed away. I want to continue living in my husband's house, my house. So, ain't I Yorshim Yecholim lo my law, l'chi l'beis avich v'anu zonin osach. So, the Yorshim of the husband, presumably sons that aren't hers, he either had another wife and has children from another wife who are Yorishim, or he didn't have children, and the brothers of his are Yorishim. In any event, the Yorishim do not have the right to say to her, go and live in your father's house. We don't want to have you live with us, and we'll support you over there, but we don't want to support you in this house here. They don't have the right to say that. Elozon and Osa, they must give her support in the house that she's used to staying in. Vinosin wa mother lefi kvoda. And they have to support her in the fashion that she was used to being supported in the house, meaning that if she had a nice apartment while she was living with her husband, if she had a set room or a set area of the house that was hers, they have to continue giving that to her. They're not allowed to move her to a different place where she lived. They have to maintain her in the same status that she had while she was living with her husband. However, if she says, Omri, if she loves me, Beis Abba, she says, no, I don't want to live here. I want to go back to my father's house. Nebuch, my husband passed away, so I'd rather live in my father's house. So then the Yorshim have the right to say to her, Yecholim Yorshim Loma Law, Im Atet Sleinu, Yeshlech Mazonos. If you want to live by us, we'll be happy to go give you the Mazonos, because it's much easier to provide Mazonos for a larger group of people than it is individually. So, for example, Tosos and Dira Masko, Birchas Abayis Meruba says, Ner Liechod, Ner Lumeya. So we have this concept that Gemara is going to elaborate on, that the house, it's much easier to feed, let's say, 10 people than it is to feed 9 in the house and then one someplace else. Because when you have 10, so you make a big soup, you make a big challenge, you make a big stew, and it's easy to have for all 10 people. But if you have to go and serve somebody in a different place, so you'd have to go purchase everything separately, so it's much more expensive. So the Yorshim have the right to say to her, listen, if you're going to live with us, we'll be happy to be supporting you in the way that you would be supported if you lived with us. We'll give you mazonos. However, but if you're not going to be with us, then you don't have mazonos. Now the Gemara is going to say, why should she lose her mazonos? Totally. So the answer is, the Gemara is going to explain that she's not entitled to the same mazonos that she would have if she lived in the house, because that would be much more plentiful. But let's say, for example, if she lived in the house with them, they could provide her a full 100% mazonos, and it would only cost them $50. But if she were to get the same mazonos in her house, it would cost $70. So then they only have to give her $50 worth of mazonos money, and they wouldn't have to give her $70 worth of mazonos money to pay for the same amount of food that if she lived in the estate, if she lived with the Yorshim, it would only cost them $50, so that's all that they have to support her for. Finally, the mission concludes and says, "Im hoisa toenis mei she yaldu v'en yiladim." However, if she has a valid reason why she doesn't want to live with them, for example, she's a young widow and they're her age, they're potentially going to be tsunua issues if she lives with sons from her husband that aren't her sons, and they're roughly the same age. It's either going to cast aspersions on her, or chas v'shalom, it could lead to immoral behavior. So she has the right to say, in that situation, if she's toenes, that we're all young people, and it's inappropriate for me to live here, then she does have the right to go to live with her father's house, and they would have to give her the full amount. So in my example a minute ago, they'd have to give her $70 rather than giving her $50. So in this situation, she has a valid taina why she can't live with them, so then they have to support her in the way that she would be supported if she lived with them. Okay, that's the Mishnah. We start the Gemara. Turn her about. We're going to follow in Braisa. Mishtameses b'mother kiderish mishtameses b'chayibala. She's entitled to live in the same type of a house that she lived in while she was with her husband. So whatever type of a dira she had, so she's entitled to still maintain that level of dira. Likewise, b'avodu mushvachos, she is entitled to have the servants and the housekeepers that she had while she was living with her husband, kiderish mishtameses b'chayibala. That has to be kept the same. She's entitled to have that same level of support that she had during the lifetime of her husband. Likewise, bekarim uchsasos kider shemishtamesh chaybala. The same blankets and quilts and pillows that she had while she was her husband, she's entitled to have that now as well. She's supported from the estate with that level of support. Likewise, if she was used to having bechlei kesef or plays off, she had silver and gold utensils, so too, she's entitled to them now, kider shemishtamesh chaybala, just like she had while she was living with her husband. And this is all based upon the ksuba, the tanai ksuba, where it says, shekach kosef lo ksuba, the atehe yasvis, that they say, you will stay and live in my house, umidzana, and be supported, minichasai, from all of my estate, from my properties. Kol yemei megar amelusech b'veisi, and it will be through all the days that you wish to be a widow. Now, if you wish to go get married and collect your ksuba, she's entitled to do that, but then she's no longer entitled to collect support. So as long as you're willing to live as a widow in my house, in other words, you're still attached to me, you haven't tried to get married to somebody else, and you haven't asked for your ksuba, so then all of these entitlements are hers. And it says over here, b'veisi, in my house, and that means in the same level that you were supported while I was alive. So the husband says, the estate will support you. That's the tanai ksuba, the estate will support you in that same level. Mori says, Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef learned the following halacha. Bivaisi, it says, lo bivixi. You will live in my house, but not in my bixi. So Rashi explains that bixi means a very small house. Rashi says, lo bivixi, the Ramas, lo bivixi, bayis tsar, a very narrow ke'ain srif, like a little teepee, like a little hut. So in that situation, she doesn't have the right to live there, because the children who inherit the estate, the brothers who inherit the estate, they have a right to live there, and it doesn't hold more than one person, or it doesn't hold more than a husband and a wife, so then in that situation, she wouldn't be entitled to live there. Now, Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Yisomim shemachu madar almana. If the Yisomim sold the place, the room, the dira, the part of the estate that she was living in, lo asu v'lo klum. They did nothing. It doesn't even work b'di'evet. They didn't have any rights to do this because it was hers prior to them getting it. When they got it through the Yerusha, she already had a prior claim on it because this was a shibud from the ksuba. So therefore, they have no right to sell it because it belongs to her. Verse says, why is this any different than the following halacha? Why is this, Rav Nachman said, lo asu v'lo klum, apply over here, as opposed to what Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yochanan, the other Rav Asi, the other Rav Yochanan, yesomim shekadmu machru b'nechasim muwatim, mashim machru machru. In a situation where there's only nechasim muwatim, and Rashi explains to Rav Asi nechasim muwatim, we learned this previously, shehabonos zochos bahen. In a situation where there's a very small estate, so the daughters are somewhat paradoxically given the support from the estate, even though the daughters don't inherit, so the rabbis were masaking that the daughters are going to get the small amount that's in the estate, because otherwise they'd have to go out and beg. And in this situation, we'd rather have the sons go out and beg rather than the daughters have to go out and beg. So again, paradoxically, the daughters don't inherit, but the rabbis made a takana that when there's nechasim muwatim, that's the daughters that get it and not the sons. And the sons will have to go out and beg. If there's a large estate, so then the sons inherit it, but they have to support their sisters. But if there's only a small amount, what's called nechasim muwatim, the daughters get it. So in this situation, the daughters get it. So how come in this situation, Rav Asi said the name of Yochanan, mashim machu machu. If the sons went and sold this, then the deal is a done deal. And we say tough luck to the daughters. So why did Rav Nachman say that if the sons sell off the madar of the amana, lo asu v'lo klum? Why isn't it the same thing? Mashim machu machu. That's the question that the Gemara asks. And the Gemara gives a teretz. No, there's a difference between the two. Hasam, in the situation of nechasim uatim, lo mishtabdi lo mechayim. You know what? The daughter doesn't really get anything during the lifetime of her father. It's only after the father dies that the daughters would be entitled to get it. Technically, the sons inherited, and the rabbis made a takana, however, that the girls have a right to go and claim it and base it if the sons don't give it to them. But the sons inherit it. So at the time of the death of the father, the daughters actually have nothing. The sons technically inherit it. That's the din d'oraisa. And the rabbis of Masakin, that if they don't voluntarily give it to the daughters and support the daughters, so the daughters have the right to go to Beis Din and go and collect that money. However, in the case where the widow, she got that mishtabi lo mechayim, that was a tenai of the ksuba. So the minute Nebuch, the husband, passed away, that belongs to her. There's no that it goes to the sons and then she has to go get it from the sons. No, mishtabi lo mechayim. So therefore, there's a difference between the two situations. In the situation where there's the chosim muatim, so the daughters technically don't have it yet, and therefore, if the sons go and sell it, technically, mashu machru, machru. However, in the situation where it's the wife, so the wife technically inherited that the minute that the husband passed away through the tanai of the ksuba. She doesn't inherit it, but she has the prior claim on it. And therefore, in that situation, the sons, if they sell it, so mashamachru lo machru, lo asu v'lo klum. Gemara continues, says Amar Abaye Niketina, and we have a Kabbalah, we have a Mesorah, Mador Almona Shinafal. If, however, the house that the Almona is living in were to fall down, so then she no longer has the right to claim that area. Ein Hayarshim Chayavin Lenoso. The Yarshim don't have an obligation to go and rebuild it for her. So she lost that right. She's entitled to that, as we mentioned. Nebuchadnezzar, the husband passes away, so wife's entitled to the apartment that she lived in while her husband was alive, but if it falls down, she's no longer entitled to it. Tayin Amihachi, the Brisa says the same thing as what Abaye says. Mother Amona Shinafal, Ein Hayarshim Chayavin Lenoso. If the apartment falls down, so then the Yarshim have no obligation to go build it up, and even more than that, below out, El Afilu, He Omeris, Hanichuni, the Evne, Vevnenu, Mishali. And even if she says, listen, I have my own money, I'll go rebuild the building, the apartment that fell down. I just want that land. I just want to live in the same shkuna. So Ein Shomla, we don't listen to her. She no longer has the right to that space. She had the right to that apartment, but not to that territory, that karka. And therefore, if that building falls down, even if she's willing to go rebuild it, there is no halachic right for her to have it. And if the inheritors of the estate say, no, sorry, we don't want to, so then she can't go enforce the situation. Again, if everybody agrees, it's not a problem. Mori asks a question from Abaye. Boy, Abaye, what about repairing it before it falls down? It looks rickety, and she says, I better go repair this before it falls down. Shipsa mai. If she wants to go, and as Rashi says, Diva Maskul Shipsa, Choska Badkel. If she wants to go and do a Bede Kabayis, that's what the Tosus Rid says, Badkel means like to do a Bede Kabayis. And she sees that, let's say, the beams are beginning to rust or to fall apart, so she rebuilds it to make it stronger, so she has the right to do so. Or can the Yarshim say, listen, if it's going to fall apart in a year, let it fall apart, and then you can live it until that happens, but you don't have a right to go and strengthen it so it'll last for 10 more years. So that's the question that Abaye asks. Take it, we don't give an answer. Tishbi Yitaritz Kushus Yabayis. We wait till Elio comes to tell us what the din is. The Tosus Rid points out that the two possibilities over here. Either we say that she is actually considered the yoresh of that apartment, and therefore it's considered in her possession. She has the right to go and fix it. Or do we say, no, that the yarshim are the real yarshim over here. They're the ones that really own this, and she just has usage rights, but therefore she doesn't have the right to go and repair it. So that's what the question revolves around. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Amru Yevshi. If she says, I want to stay in my father's house, so then the Yarshim say, then we're not going to support you. So Mor says, why don't we say that the Yarshim of the husband should go and support her over there? Why did we insist that she live in that house in order to get the mizonos? So Masayel Rav Huna, this is in accord with what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said, Birkas Habayis Beruba. This is where I pointed out in the Mishnah, that it's much easier to go feed 10 people altogether, then nine people in one place and one person someplace else. And this is called Birkas Habayis Meruba. So we have over here a tremendous benefit by them all living together. As Tosa says again, Dira Maskel, Birkas Habayis Meruba, Piyush Rabbeinu Chanano, that which we said in the Warren Shabbos, Ner Liecha, Ner Lemeah. You could, for example, pay the electric bills by having 10 people there versus 9 people there. It's the same electric bill if you have a light on. So therefore, the Chayim Kol Ki Agadda, this applies not only with the Ner, but it applies with food. You're making a challen, so it can feed 10 people just as easily as it can feed 9 people. So therefore, they don't have an obligation to go and give her support. Aigmar says, Leisulol Lefi Birkas Habayis. So why don't they have to give her at least the amount that they would have had to, granted that you can feed 10 people more easily than nine people plus one in a different place, but it still costs a little bit more to feed 10 people than it does to feed 9 people. You have to add an extra piece into the challen. So the Gemara says, at least let them give her the amount that would be for that extra piece. So the Gemara says, you're right. The late Zalal, the feed of Sabai is Hochanami. Yes, that's exactly what they have to do. They don't get away scot-free. Like in my example, I said, if it would cost them $70 to feed her to the extent that it costs $50 to feed them, they're all together. So they do have to give her the $50, which is what it would have cost them. I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says another din, Loshon Chachamim Bracha, Loshon Chachamim Osher, and Loshon Chachamim Marpe. Rav Huna was the one that said the Birkas Habayis concept over here, and now the Gemara tells us that this Birkas Habayis that we just said, this Loshon of the Chachamim, that Birkas Habayis Beruba, that a house is blessed when there are more people over there, is a special Loshon that the rabbis use, and likewise they use a special Loshon in regards to Osher and in regards to healing, Osher and Marpe. What exactly does this mean? So the Gemara continues. Birchas Habayis Bracha HaDemar. That's what we just said. Where do you find that the Chum is a special Lashon to teach us about Osher? Osher did not, because we learned in the following Mishnah in Bava Basra, it says, HaMocher Peres L'Chaveru. If you sell, Reuven sells fruits to his friend Shimon, so Shimon wants to make sure he gets those fruits. He really wants those fruits. So he does a kinyan. So, Moshach, if he made a kinyan Meshicha, however, Velo Mada, but he didn't measure it out, but they agreed upon a set price. So in this situation, where they agreed that they would, let's say, charge $5 every bushel, so he did a kinyan mashicha. It was too heavy for him to do a kinyan hagbah, so he did a kinyan mashicha. It was done in a place where kinyan mashicha works. So, for example, it was done in a place that they either both jointly owned, or it was in a simta of Rishus HaRabim, or it was in other places where you can make a kinyan mashicha. So in that situation, even though he didn't measure out how many bushels it would be, but they agreed that it would be a set price, let's say $5 for every pound, so they didn't know how many pounds there are yet, but they had agreed upon a price, and he did a kinyan mashicha kana. So then Shimon acquires it, he doesn't have to worry that Reuven can retract or go back on the deal, it's a done deal. However, if they just measured it out, madan, however, lo mashach, they measured it out, but they didn't make a kinyan mashicha, so then at that point in time, if Reuven says, listen, I changed my mind, I want to go back, so lo kana. So Shimon hasn't actually acquired it. So here's where we have Rav Huna telling us how the Chachamim taught us about Osher. So b'mhoya pikeach, if the person is a smart person, he wants to make sure that he gets those produce, and he doesn't have the time, or actually says, to make a kinyan mashicha, he's not there, for example, b'mhoya pikeach, socheres b'kobo. What he can do is a kinyan agav. So what he does is, he tells Reuven, I want to rent the area that you own that the produce is on. So he gives him an extra $5, and he purchases the right of that area for the day, and the produce that's on it, he now acquires through a kinyan agav. So therefore, socher es b'kobo, in this situation, he's able to go and acquire the item that he wished to purchase, even though he wasn't able to do a kinyan mashicha. So we see it from here. Rav Huna is telling us, if you want to go make a person wealthy, in other words, if you want to make sure that you're able to kona that produce that you wanted to get, so the Chazal tell us a special way to go do that. Likewise, Chazal tell us how to be healthy. Marpe, where do we see that? Titnan, we have the Mishnah in Psoch. It tells us that on Pesach, lo yilos adam chitim, you shouldn't go and chew on chitim in order to make a paste of the chitin, the yonich agabi makos of the Pesach, to go put it on a wound. In other words, you're making like a plaster out of chewing this grain, and it will make like a plastery type substance that you go put on the makah. So don't do this on Pesach. Why? Because when you go and chew this wheat, you're going to potentially turn it into chametz, which would be a big issue, of course, on Pesach. But the chiddush over here, the chacham, is that if you do this the rest of the year, they're telling you, in addition to the regular din of chametz, they're also telling you that the rest of the year, this is a good medicinal therapy. They thought in those days that this would be a good medicinal therapy to put some chewed grain on a makah, on a wound. It would help it heal. So therefore, Chazal were telling us, in addition to this din of chametz on Pesach, they're telling us a din of refuah. Now the Gemara tells us the following brayse: So Tana Rabbanan b'shas p'ti rasa should have met Rebbe, and here we're introducing a very, very long and beautiful discussion about Rebbe, which we'll have for the rest of the shiur today, as well as a lot of the shiur tomorrow. So Tana Rabbanan, the brayse tells us b'shas p'ti rasa should have met the time that Rebbe Nebuch passed away. Rebbe was the god of Ador, Reviewed the nasi. So Amar, he said levonai ani tzarich. He said, go call my children to come to me, because he knew he was going to die, and he wanted to give various tzavos, he wanted to give various commands over to his children to follow upon his death. So, of course, his children come. He had two sons. He had Rabbi Shimon and Rabban Gamliel. So, Nichlasu ban of Etzlo. So, his two sons, Shimon and Gamliel, come to him. Amalem. So, Rabbi tells him, Hizaru b'chvod imcha. First thing he tells him is, very, very careful with the covenant of your mother. Now, we'll see in a moment, it wasn't really their mother, it was their stepmother. But he was telling them, you have to be very, very careful to honor your stepmother even after I'm dead. And the Gemara will explain what this chiddush is. Furthermore, he said, Ner yehe daluk b'mkomo, shulchan yehe aruch b'mkomo, mita te mutzas b'mkomo. He said the following three things. Keep a lamp lit for me in the usual place, because he's going to come back and make kiddush for his wife after he's dead. And this is an unbelievable sugya, that the great, great tzaddikim, they never really die. They're considered, even in Misa, to be still alive in some way, just like Eliyahu lo meis. Eliyahu could come back to this world and paskin shailus. We say tishbi yitaretz kushas yabayis, so we just had the teku. So how can Eliyahu paskin lo bashamayim? So when he comes back to this world, he's like a human being. So therefore, Rebbe, when he would come back to this world after he died, so he would come back and he would still have the status of a human being, could be motzi his wife in kiddush. So he told his sons, keep a light burning for me. Keep yitei ner daluk b'mkomo, and let my table be set, yei shulchan yei aruch b'mkomo, and the mita, the bed over there which we eat upon, should be set up in its place. In other words, I'm going to come back on Erev Shabbos and go make kiddush for my wife and have the meal with my wife. Then he says further, Yosef chefani, Yosef comes from Haifa, and Shimon, Ephrasi, Shimon who came from Ephrat, Heim Shimshuni b'chayai, Heim Yishimshuni b'mosi. These two people, Yosef, who came from Haifa, and Shimon, who came from Ephrat, so they should go, and they served me in my lifetime, they should also serve me in my death. We'll explain what this means in a moment. The Afua has a beautiful explanation as to why Badavka had to tell us that they came from Haifa and from Ephras. So he says that there's a halacha that a Talmud Chacham, you're not allowed to use a Talmud Chacham to be Meshabesh you. So obviously, these people wouldn't be Amaratzim if they were around Rebbe. So how could he use them? So he brings down that the Talmidei Chacham that were from Haifa and from Ephrat, they didn't have all of the characteristics necessary in the Talmud Chacham in terms of learning that you couldn't be Mishamish, have them be Mishamish you. So therefore, either Dafka used Talmidei Chacham that came from Haifa and Ephrat because there was no Isser in having them serve you. So that's why the Hafwa says, we Dafka have over here the mention of where they came from. In any event, that was the first several things that Rebbe said. Now, what does it mean when he said, Hizaru b'kvo imche? You have to be very careful with the cover for your mother. So it really meant his stepmother. But the Gemara says, right now we think it's his mother. So daraisi, this is din daraisi. The Gemara says, kameh zemicha simecha. So what difference make if I'm alive? Why would you not have cover for your mother even if the Rebbe dies? So the answer is, the Gemara says, Eishes av havoi. It wasn't their mother, it was just Rebbe's wife. Rebbe had a previous wife who was the mother of Shimon and Gamliel, and then Nebuch, that wife passed away, and Rebbe got remarried, and this new wife was their stepmother. So he said, Eishes av havoi, and he's telling them that they should have tremendous respect for their stepmother. So it says, that's also din deraisa, Eishes av nami deraisa. The wife of your father is a din deraisa, you should respect her. This is based upon the following drasha, the Tanya. We have the pasuk kabed es avicha, the es imecha. So what does the es stand for? So we have in many places in the Shas, we darsh in the Essen. So it says, Kaved Es Avicha. Why didn't it just say Kaved Avicha? So what does the Es come to teach us? So Es Avicha comes to tell us, Zu Eishes Avicha. This comes to tell us the wife of your father. The Es Imecha, that comes to tell us, Zu Baal Imcha. If your father passes away and your mother remarries, you have to have respect for your stepfather. So the Es in both of these psukim, one of the many drushas that we have for this, is that you have to have respect for your stepmother, stepfather. Others explain, this means the S has to deal with your in-laws, your father-in-law or your mother-in-law. So there's a lot of drushes on these S. So this S over here, on the Gemara Darshins, is to teach us to honor your stepmother and your stepfather. So that's what Gemara is saying. Your stepmother is a din daraisa through the darshining of the S. So why did Rebbe have to tell him to fulfill the mitzvah daraisa? So the Gemara says, also Vav, the Vav Ve Esimecha, that Vav Yisera is L'Rabos Esochicha Gov. That comes to tell us that you have to go and honor your older brother, the oldest brother, according to the Psak Halacha. So therefore, the oldest brother, you have an obligation to honor him. Now, that's not essential for our drasha. Our drasha here was, why did Rebbe have to tell him to honor his wife, who wasn't their mother? It's a Din D'Oraisa. Shmuel says, no. It's only Din D'Oraisa, Hani Mili Mechayim. While Rebbe's alive, it's a din daraisa that they should honor Rebbe's wife. But after Rebbe Nebuch passes away, so then this din daraisa no longer applies. Love. So on a din daraisa, they technically did not have to honor their stepmother after their father passes away. But Rebbe's telling them, you make sure to go and honor your stepmother even after I pass away. Then Rebbe said further, what's that all about? That the candle should be lit, the table should be set, the bed coverings should be set up over there. Everything like there would be a regular place for Rebbe. So Gemara says, my time, what's the rationale for that? So Gemara says, because kol Beis Shimshe, Rashi explains Beis Shimshe means the Bein HaShemashos, which means Erev Shabbos, because on Erev Shabbos, that was the real Bein HaShemashos, because everybody knew that meant the difference between weekday and Shabbos. So that's called Beis Shimshe. So every Friday afternoon, called Beis Shimshe, during the Bein HaShemashos period of time, Havios HaLabesi, Rebbe would return from the dead to go back to being a live person coming to his house. And he wanted everything to be set up for him when he would come back. And that continued for a very long period of time until the following Maisa. How Beis Shimshe, one certain Friday afternoon, the Rebbe came back, so Asoi Shivasa, one of the neighboring women, came to the house to go visit Rebbe's widow. And Kokari Abava, she knocks on the door, and Omra Anse, and Rebbe's maidservant said, Shtiko, be quiet. The Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe's here already, so be quiet. Now Rebbe heard this, and Kiva Deshama, Shalosa. Rebbe heard that the whole world knows that he's coming back already, because the maidservant knew about it, and now she told the neighbor, and now everybody's going to know that Rebbe comes back from the dead. So Rebbe said, no more, I can't come back anymore. Kivin d'shama shuvloasa. Once he heard that this was public knowledge, so he didn't come back anymore. Why not? Shalo lahotzi laz al tzadikim harishonim. In order not to cast aspersions on the earlier tzadikim who didn't come back. So people would say, oh, must not have been a big tzaddik if he doesn't come back to visit his wife, just like Rebbe came back. So therefore, in order not to cast aspersions on all these big tzaddikim who didn't come back from the dead, so Rebbe stopped coming back from the dead as well. Then the Gemara continues and says, Rebbe had other recommendations or requests upon his deathbed. Yosef chofdi Shimon Efrasi. So we had wanted to say that Yosef, who came from Haifa, and Shimon came from Ephraim, Heim Shimshuni B'chayi, Heim Shimshuni B'mosi. They should serve me in my lifetime, and they'll serve me in my death. So originally, it meant that Sovereign Mino, Behadein Almohu, do you come? He was talking about in this world. So these two people who served in his life, they would be the ones to go carry his coffin to the grave. They should escort the coffin to the grave. However, Kivin the Chazu, the Kodim, Arsayu, Arsay. However, they passed away before Rebbe was buried. Now, I'm not clear when they exactly passed away. They passed away after the Tzavah that Rebbe said that they should serve him, and then they died before Rebbe died, or that they died at the same time that Rebbe died, and for whatever the reason, they were actually buried before Rebbe was buried. So therefore, Kivin the Chazu, the Kodim, Arsayu, Arsay, since they saw that these two people, Yosef Chofni, and Shimon Efrasi, since people saw that they weren't alive at the time that Rebbe died, so Amri, people said, Shmamino, we see from here that that's not what Rebbe meant, that they would bury him. Shmamino, lahawa almo to come, they would serve Rebbe in the world to come, in the Olam HaEmes. So the great tzaddikim, not that they needed somebody to serve them, but it's a big cover to have a lot of people around them. So, and it's a big cover for the people that are around them to be zocha, to be in the high, lofty area where Rebbe would be. So Rebbe said, they served me so nicely in my lifetime, they'll serve me in Olam Emes, they'll be in the area where I am. That's a big, big covenant. So Shema Mino, how Amo to come. Rebbe was talking about in the world to come, in the Olam Emes, that they would serve him over there. And the reason why we clearly understand this is the Lo Lemru, Mil Sahavailu. The people shouldn't say, oh, Rebbe meant that they would serve him in this world. And you know what? They were not very, very good people. And they really died now because they had done something terribly wrong. But Ad Idna, and until now, Nami Zuchusu de Rebbe Hu da Hanyulu. The only reason they didn't die sooner for these terrible sins that they must have done is because the Zuchusu of Rebbe kept them alive. But now the Rebbe was no longer needing them, so they died right away. So therefore, to make sure that nobody said that, so they understood that Rebbe never would have said that they should serve him unless he meant that they were really great people and they would serve him in the world to come. Amalhan, Rebbe said further to his sons Shimon and Gamliel, he said, L'chachm Yisrael anitzarech. He said, go call the Chachm Yisrael. He had finished giving the instructions to his two sons to a certain extent, so he said, go call the Chachm Yisrael. Oh, nichnasu etzlo Chachm Yisrael. So the Chachm Yisrael came. Amalhan, so Rebbe tells the Chachm Yisrael, Tispiduni bo'ayaros, do not go and make a spade for me in the cities. Now, there's three levels of city. You have the little kfarim, the little villages, then you have the medium-sized small cities, ayaros, and then you have the krachim, those are the big cities. So he basically was saying, don't go, we'll see why in a moment, don't go and make hespedim for me in the middle-sized, smaller cities, only make in the huge cities, in the big krachim, hespedim for me. We turn to Kuf Gimel Omid Beis. Furthermore, he said, Voshivu yeshiva li'achar shloshim yom, make the yeshiva's return after the hespedim, after 30 days of hespedim. We'll see why 30 days. So go and make hespedim for me for 30 days, but then go back and reopen the yeshivas. Furthermore, he told them, Shimon bini, my younger son Shimon, he is going to be the chacham. Some say the chacham meant the ab beisdin. Others say that this was a certain title known as a chacham, like we say amongst the Sfaradim especially, he's the chacham ovadia. So there's a certain title that he would be in charge of various aspects of the Jewish life. And others just say, no, he was just a very big Talmud Chacham. They call him, Shimon, my son, is a big Talmud Chacham, but he's not going to be the Nasi after me. But my oldest son, Gamliel, Bini, he will be the Nasi. He'll be the Nasi, even though Shimon, in some ways, was more qualified from his wisdom, but we'll explain why Gamliel was chosen by Rebbe, if he wasn't as smart as Shimon, to be the Nasi. And then, by the way, this other big Talmud Chacham, Chanina Bar Chama, he should be Yeshe Barosh. He should be the head of the yeshiva. That's what Rashi explains. So these were the last commands that he said to the Chachmei Yisrael. Now, we go and explain them. Altis beduni b'ayaros, don't go and make a spade for me in the middle, smaller Thai cities in the ayaros. Why not? So sovereign me not. So the people originally thought, Mishum tircha hu dekamar. I thought because this would be a big tircha for the people of the small little kfarim to have to go to the cities. So the Rebbe didn't want them to go and make a spade over there to prevent the tircha of the people in the kfarim. So that's what they originally thought. However, given the chazu, the kosafte bekrachim, but since Rebbe did allow them to have these huge eulogies in the big cities, and everybody showed up to that, the kosu kuliyama, the people came from the ayaros, and the people came as well from small villages, so they realized, Amru, shmamino, mishum yukaru hu dekama. This was to give cover to the Torah. So in this situation, they would want to go and give cover to the Torah. And that was the reason not to have the hespedim in the smaller, medium-sized cities, because it wouldn't be such a large attraction. It's a great cover of the Torah to see so many people come out to be maspid a gadol of the Torah. Furthermore, Rabbi said, Hoshiva yeshiva le'achar shloshim yom. He said that for 30 days you'll have a spedim, and then go back to the yeshivas. Why 30 days? So the Gemara says, the lo adifno mimosha beinu. They want to have, as we'll see, hespedim for a full year. But Rabbi said, for Moshe Rabbeinu, we only were maspid for 30 days. Who am I? It should be maspid for me longer than that. The sin, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayivku b'nei Yisrael, Moshe b'arvus Moshe, Moshe b'yav. They were in the Lashon of Bechiyah. They were in a state of mourning, of crying, which is analogous somewhat to Espedim, and therefore, for 30 days for Moshe Rabbeinu, so 30 days for me is more than enough as well, and then afterwards, everybody should go back to the yeshiva. Nu, plus in Yomin, Soptim b'yamama v'layla. So for 30 days, they were eulogizing Rebbe for 30 days and 30 nights. However, after that, Nikan ve'elech, Soptu b'yamama, they would make a spadim still during the daytime, regardless of the light, but they went back to learning at nighttime. Some suggest that when they realized how great Rabbi was, so they eulogized and then went back to learn Torah. They saw how much they missed him, so they went back to eulogizing him again. So, O Soptu b'lelya, or they gave Hesmedim at nighttime after Vigorsi b'yama. They learned during the daytime and saw that they needed Rabbi still. So, Ad Soptu Tresa Yachishasa. So, they ended up eulogizing him for an additional 11 months, for a total of 12 months for that entire year. How Yom the Ashkafte the Rebbe, that day which Rebbe died, so Rebbe was basically being mechaper on the entire generation. The stories elsewhere as to exactly why he was sick in the stomach, but Rebbe had terrible, terrible stomach pains for many, many, many years, and it was a kapara for the entire generation. So on the day that Rebbe died, Nafka Bas Kol Yomer, a voice rang out from Shemayim that said, "Called the Havi Biashkapte the Rebbe, anybody that was around at the time that Rebbe died, Mizuman Hulachai Olam Ba, he'll be Zochel Gorachai Olam Ba." Now, Tosas asks over here, in Dibul Maskel, Mizuman Lachai Olam Ba, says Tema, Talo Kol Yisrael Yesha Bechelik Olam Ba. What's the Chiddush over here? Every Jewish person has a Chelik Olam Ba. So the Pirush of Rabbi Meir, Kol Hechadama Mizuman Lachai Olam Ba, Hainu Belo Din, Belo Bisur. So he says a beautiful idea, he says. Everybody's going to have Olam Ba, but sometimes it's going to be a circuitous route. You're going to have to go through Gehenna, you're going to have to go through all sorts of tzaras and all sorts of stages before you get to the Olam Ba. So what he was saying is that anybody that was around at the time of Rebbe's Patira, so Rebbe was such a great Talmud Chacham, so his death, so to say, was like a Yom Kippur. And therefore, Rebbe held in the Shita that says that Yom Kippur is Mechapi, even for people that didn't have intention to do tshuva. So too, Rebbe's death, even people that didn't have intention to do tshuva, so Lashitas Rebbe, so they got this Kapara, and therefore, Mezuman Uluchai Olam Haba, and all of them will go into Olam Haba. The Gemara continues with his story, and it says, how Kobes, there was a certain launderer. Call Yoma Hava Asi Kameh. Every day we go visit Rebbe. And he was always by Rebbe. How Yoma, however, Lo Asa. That day that Rebbe died, he wasn't there. Kiva the Shama Hachi, when he heard that it said that anybody who was present at Rebbe's death would be Zocha L'Chai Olam Haba. They would be Zocha to such this great thing that they wouldn't have any suffering. They'd go straight to Olam Haba. He felt terrible. Solidly Igra. He went up to the rooftop. Then Nafal Yarumis. He was so dejected. The simplest way to understand this is not that he committed suicide. There are those that explain this through committing suicide, but it's a very difficult pshat to explain what the heck would be to commit suicide in this situation. So the more simple pshat to understand, which I think is the simple basic pshat, is that he went up to the rooftop, he was very, very dejected, and Nebuch, in his depression, in his dejection, he wasn't careful, and he slipped, and he fell off the roof, and Nebuch, he died in that situation. And not that he committed suicide, he didn't jump off the roof. So Solik Ligwa did not fall the arrogance. He fell off the roof, unintentionally, and he died. And Yotzev Askel V'Yomra, Afu HaKobes, Nezuman Hu L'Chai Olam Haba. He had such terrible depression that he wasn't Zocha to be with Rebbe at the day that he died. So a voice rang out from Shemayim that said, yes, he's also going to be Nezuman Hu L'Chai Olam Haba. Then we explain the statement. The Rebbe said, Shimon b'nei Chacham. What does that mean? My Kama. What was Rebbe telling us by telling us that the son of Shimon was a Chacham? So Chacham, this is what he was telling us. Even though Shimon is a bigger Tama Chacham than Gamliel, Gamliel is going to be the Nasi. So the word says, Amalevi, Tzrichel Neymar. Was this really necessary for Rebbe to tell us this? In other words, he was a little bit chutzpah that he said, why is Rebbe telling us such an obvious thing? So this Rebbe Shimon, this son who was the Chacham, goes and tells Levi, I'm Rebbe Shimon, but Rebbe's son, Rebbe Shimon, tells him, Tzricha lach ulmetal toch. It's necessary for you specifically, and you're lame. The reason why you're lame was because you're a little bit chutzpahdik. You complained that the rain wasn't coming. You're a little bit chutzpahdik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, and therefore, here you're a little bit chutzpahdik to Rebbe. So it's because of you, because of your chutzpah, that we definitely have to go and explain why Rebbe said this, even though I'm the smarter one, Gamliel Bini is the one who's going to be the Nasi. That's what Rebbe said. Knew, what was the problem? My Kashale. After all, Levi was right. What was Levi actually wrong about? Ha-Krakama, he was saying a pasuk. Why did Rebbe have to say that his oldest son, Gamliel, should be the one who would take over after him? It's a Beferish pasuk. V'samamu'acha, nosan li'horam, ki rabachar. When Yehoshaphat was handing over his kingship to his son, he gave it over to Yehoram, who was at that point still a tzaddik, so he was roid lemlucha, and unfortunately went off the derech afterwards, but at that point Yehoshaphat, who was a good king, gave over the kingship to his son Yehoram, who was the Bukhar. So it says, Kiyuah Bukhar. So obviously the oldest one inherits the position of the father. So why did Levi, was it good in asking, why did Rebbe have to say that my son Gamliel, who's the Bukhar, should inherit my position as the Nasi? So I said, no. How Mali Mokum of Osvaba? Yehoram was in fact a great person at that point in time, and it was deserving to be the king after Yehoshaphat. However, Rabbi Gamliel ain't a mamali mokum of Osef Hava because it was Shimon. Rabbi Gamliel wasn't the most qualified to be the replacement for his father as the Nasi. Technically, Shimon was. But that's why Rebbe had to go say that Gamliel should be the Nasi after me. Now, Gemara says, why was that? So Rebbe, my time of Avad Hachi, why did Rebbe, in fact, appoint Shimon not to be the Nasi? If he was the smarter one, why did he appoint the older one, Gamliel, to be the Nasi? So the Gemara says, he ain't a mamali mokum of Osef Hava, since even though he wasn't as smart as his younger brother Shimon, nevertheless, the Yirashet, in Yirashamayim, in his tremendous worry about doing a sin, he's such a Yirashet, Mamali Mokum Avosav Hava. That was a better, so to say, trait to have to be the Nasi than to be a bigger Talmud Chacham. It's not like Rabbi Gamliel was not a huge Talmud Chacham. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. And the reason why he was selected over Shimon was because he was a bigger Yirashamayim. Okay. Then we said that Chanina Bar Chama Yeshim Barosh. So now we have a very interesting story about this. Lo kibel Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, who was supposed to be the head of the base madrash, he was the head of the yeshiva, lo kibel Rabbi Chanina. He didn't want to accept this position. Why not? Shaya Rabbi Ephes, godol imenu shtei shanim u'mechza. Because there was another Talmud Chacham who was a little bit older than him. Rabbi Chanina was as great as him, but he wasn't as old as him. And he said, it's a little bit inappropriate for me, the younger Talmud Chacham, to take the position of kavod as the head of the yeshiva when there is an equally great Talmud Chacham who's older than me. So therefore, Rabbi Chanina let Rabbi Ephes take the position. So he wasn't going to be, however, sitting in that base medrash, listening to the shiur from him because he was his equal. So Yosef Rabbi Ephes Bereisha. So he appointed Rabbi Ephes to be the head of the yeshiva, but Yosef Rabbi Chanina Abroi. But he didn't sit inside the yeshiva. He went outside and learned by himself. Now, also Levi comes along, the Levi that we just spoke about a moment ago, was a great Talmud Chacham as well, Yosef Gadei, and he went to sit and learn, be the chavrus of Rabbi Chanina, because it's inappropriate that Rabbi Chanina would be by himself. Now, Noch Navshei the Rabbi Ephes, eventually Rabbi Ephes did pass away, and also Rabbi Chanina Bereisha. Now Rabbi Chanina said, I'm appropriate to be the Rosh Hashiva, I'm the biggest Talmud Chacham, and therefore it's now appropriate that Rabbi appointed me to be head of the Yeshiva. Now I'll take over now that Rabbi Ephes is no longer alive. However, Levi now had nobody to sit with him. Now Levi felt he was the equal of Rabbi Chanina, and he didn't want to go inside and be subordinate to Rabbi Chanina. He had been sitting outside with him the whole time, and he said, I'm not going to go inside now, but there was nobody else that went to learn with Levi, so the castle of Babel, he went to Babel to learn with either Rab or Shmuel or some of the great Gedolim over there. Behind the Amri Leila Rab, and that's, now we understand this story that was told to Rab, that Gavra Rabba Ikla Lenardoi Umitla, a great Talmud Chacham came to Babel from Eretz Yisrael, and he has a limp. He is limping. Now, we know that Levi had become lame. He was limping because he was achve kida. He wanted to demonstrate how to do kida, which is a very difficult type of bowing down. You're basically doing a push-up just on your thumb. And he became lame as a result of doing that. Mari also has a whole story as to why that occurred. In any event, he became lame. And that's why he knew, Rav knew, that this great Talmud Chacham, who was lame, had come to Meridai. And the reason why he knew it was lame was with Dorish Kalila Shari. He darshan that a certain type of very, very expensive diadem that they would wear, only the rich women would wear, was allowed to be worn on Shabbos. Normally with jewelry, you have to be concerned that you may come to take it off on Shabbos and show it to somebody, and therefore there's a potential that you'll carry it, so they didn't allow them to wear certain jewelry on Shabbos. But only the very richest and most chashuva women wore this diadem, this type of atara, this kalila, and therefore this tiara. So only the greatest of women would wear something like this. They would never, so to say, lower themselves to take it off and show it to somebody. So therefore, Levi said, women are allowed to wear a klila. If they're a zocha to have a klila, so then they can wear that on Shabbos and not worry about, even in Rishus HaRabim, that they'll come to take it off and carry it, Dalet Amos, Rishus HaRabim, Bichas HaShol over. So Rav knew that this was the sheet of Levi. So Rav said, Omar, for the fact that Levi came to Babel, Shema Mina, Noch Nafshe the Rebbe Ephes. It must be the Rebbe Ephes passed away. Yosef Rebbe Chanina Bereisha, and Rebbe Chanina moved in from being outside to move in to be the head of the yeshiva, and now Levi had nobody to learn with. The law had to lay Levi in his shlemesam gabay because, and therefore came to Bobo. In fact, Levi came and is a bar plukta throughout Shas with Avuah de Shmuel. He went to learn with the father of Shmuel. They became chavrusas, bali plukta, and that's what happened to Levi. Okay, that Gemara says, how did Rav know that it was Rebbe Ephes that had passed away? Maybe Rebbe Chanina passed away. Maybe Rabbi Ephes still the Rosh Hashiva, and only Rabbi Chanina passed away. So Gemara says, and Levi didn't have anybody to sit with because Rabbi Chanina had died. Not that Rabbi Chanina had moved inside because Rabbi Ephes had died, and that's why, because he came down to Babel. Maybe that was it. So we have two roots of why that's not the case. Number one, Teretz, number one, Ibai Seymo, Levi, the Rebbe Ephes, Mechav HaVachayvle. Levi, if Rebbe Ephes had been inside as the Rosh Hashiva and Rebbe Chanina had died, Levi would have gone inside. For whatever the reason, he did feel subordinate to Rebbe Ephes, albeit he didn't feel subordinate to Rebbe Chanina. That's Teretz number one. So therefore, he knew that if Levi was here, it must have been the Rebbe Ephes had died and not the Rebbe Chanina had died. Teretz number two, Ibai Seymo, Kiv in the Yom HaRebbe, since Rebbe had said, Chanina Bar Chama Yeshu Rosh, Rebbe had given a bracha that Chanina Bar Chama would be at the head. He assigned him to be the head. Lo Sagi Lamolch. It's impossible that Rebbe's bracha or Rebbe's command that Chanina Bar Chama should be the head of the yeshiva. It's impossible, Lo Sagi Lamolch, that he wouldn't become the head of the yeshiva, to be the melech, the head of the yeshiva. Because it says by Tzadikim, the Chsib Lub Tzadikim, the Sigzar Omer, the Yakum Loch. Brings out a passage from Eo that if a tzaddik says something, it will automatically come true. So therefore, Rav knew that Rebbe had said that. So therefore, it must be that Rebbe Chanina has now become the head of the yeshiva and the Rebbe Ephes had died. Mori says, how come Rebbe appointed Rebbe Chanina to be the head of the yeshiva, Chanina Bar Chama, for Hava Rebbe Chia? Why didn't he appoint Rebbe Chia to be the head of the yeshiva? He was even greater than Rebbe Ephes and greater than Rebbe Chanina. So Mori says, because Noch Nafshe, Rebbe Chia died already. Where says that can't be? But Rabbi Chia had said, "Ani risi kibushal Rebbe." I saw the Rebbe's coffin was there. But Raditi, I loved Mars, and I cried at the patira of Rebbe. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Chia died before Rebbe? Rebbe obviously died before Rabbi Chia. So the Mar says, "No, Epoch, you have it wrong. It was Rebbe who had said, I saw the kibro show Rabbi Chia, Raditi, I loved Mars, and I cried because Rabbi Chia was such a great person." Mar says, "Still, but Rabbi Chia, we have another statement from Rabbi Chia where he said, oh, so Yom Shemes Rebbe, the day that Rebbe died, but look, Kedusha left this world. As Tosa says over in Diva Maskel, also a Yom, Shaykorin also Rebbeinu HaKadosh, he was the Holy One. Aye, well, the Tanya Bishuli Sota, it says at the end of Sota, Mishnei's Rebbe bought Bo Anova V'yira. It says other things stopped being in the world. There was nobody as humble as Rebbe. There was nobody as Yori Shemayim as Rebbe. So it says, no, that means Kedusha. Yesh Lomai, Kedusha B'chlaf. That's exactly what Kedusha is. So Rebbe Chia said that when Rebbe died, Kedusha left. So how can you tell me that Rebbe died after Rebbe Chia? Clearly, Rebbe Chia was still alive when Rebbe died. So again, Gemara says, April, you have to switch this around. That it was Rebbe who said that when Rebbe Chia died, bought the Kedusha. Gemara still says that's not right. But Tanya, we have a braisa that states, Kishechol Rebbe, when Rebbe got sick, Nichnas Rebbe Chia Eslo, that Rebbe Chia came to visit Rebbe, and Rebbe Chia saw that Rebbe was crying. And Rebbe Chia said, that's not a good omen. You shouldn't be crying right before you die. And he tells him, Amar lo, Rabbi Chiya says to Rabbi, Rabbi, b'nei ma'at bocha, why are you crying, Rabbi? For Tanya, the Braisa tells us, meis mitol chasok simin ravelo. If somebody dies while he's laughing, so to say, that's a very good simin that he's going straight up to Shemayim. But if he dies, mitol chabechi, simin ravelo. If he dies while he's crying, that's a very bad omen. And therefore, Rabbi, why are you crying? So that's the kasha, but we finish off the braisa. So upon of lamalo simin ravelo, if he is facing upwards when he dies, so that's a very good simin for him. However, upon of lamata, so it looks like he's going downstairs, so simin ravelo, that's a very bad simin for the person. Likewise, upon of klapei om, if he's facing towards the people, so then simin ravelo, that's also a very good simin. That shows that everybody's going to be accompanying him. People are going to follow what he said, and they're going to come to his levaya and klapei akosa. But if he faces the other way, it's a simin ralo. It means like nobody's following him, nobody's learning his Torah after his life, and that nobody's coming to his levaya. Likewise, part of Yerukin, simin ralo, if his face is a greenish color, a jaundice type of a color, that's a bad sign. He has certain illnesses that it's not good for a person to have. Part of tzuhuvim, adumim, but if his face is very shiny, it's golden or reddish color, a ruddy color, simin yofo, that's a good sign. Furthermore, meis b'erev Shabbos simin yofelo. The person dies on erev Shabbos is a very good simon. Some suggest because they won't have to be lechal Shabbos for him that he dies before Shabbos. But the matzi Shabbos, if he dies after Shabbos, simin ralo. That's not a good sign because he has the whole week, so to say, ahead of him that he can be punished in Gehenna Rachmon Litzlan. Likewise, meis b'erev Yom Kippur simin ralo. If the person dies on erev Yom Kippur, so then Rachmon Litzlan, that could be a bad sign. Again, these things are not guarantees. These things aren't to be taken halach l'mais a day in any way, shape, or form. But these were things that the Braisa tells us. If a person dies on Erev Yom Kippur, so that's a bad sign in general for him because he didn't have the Yom Kippur to be mechaber for. But if he dies on Matzi Yom Kippur, when all of his sins have been forgiven, we got Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara, so then Simin Yofelo, that's a very good time for a person to die. Then it says, Meis Mechola Meyayim, Simin Yofelo, if a person dies of various intestinal problems, so that's also a very good simin for him. Because this is a sign that he's being punished in this world, and his entire punishments that he deserves are in this world and not in the world to come. And indeed, it says, the great tzaddikim died of intestinal problems. So that's what Ruchia told Rebbe. So don't cry, he told him. Rebbe, it's not a good sign to cry. So Rebbe says, no, it depends why you're crying. Amalo, he says, I'm crying that I won't be able to do any more Torah mitzvos. So that's, I'm crying because of that, not because I'm afraid of death or I'm afraid of something else. And therefore, the rule that you had said that it's a bad omen for a person to die when he's crying, so that doesn't apply to me. Then anymore, it says, another territory, by say ma, April, that we could say that it was Rav Chiya who was the one that had cried, and Rebbe was the one who told him this price. So that's the same territory that we gave before for all the others, so say that over here too as well. But here the word says, you buy the same, no, you don't have to flip around any of them. Lolan Tepoch, it was all Rabbi Chiya in every one of these situations was the one that said it, and he said it about Rebbe. And Rabbi Chiya also with Mitzvah. So the reason why Rabbi Chiya was not chosen to be the Nasi was he was so busy doing good deeds. He was so busy helping out the community. Also with Mitzvah and all the things that he was doing. So becoming the Nasi would have been bad for him. He wouldn't have been able to do all the wonderful things he was doing. And therefore, Rebbe Sarva lo afkare, I'm not going to make him hefker. I'm not going to prevent him from doing all sorts of mitzvahs that he was doing. It's better for him to continue doing what he's doing. As Rashi says in Dira Masa, lo afkare, lo avat lemi mitzvos. I'll make him not be able to do all the mitzvahs that he's doing if I make him the Nasi. So therefore, he picked Chanina ben Chama. And that now makes it able to be understood. So there would be machlokas in sometimes between Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya in terms of halacha, and we have a somewhat unusual gemara here where each of them is, so to say, boasting about why they were the bigger Talmud Chacham. And what we see over here is that they were really having a dispute about what's the better way to learn. And this is a famous machlokas that we have, which is better, to be Sinai or Oker Horeb. Sinai is an expression that we use for a person who has a vast encyclopedic knowledge of all the Tanoic statements, for example. And an Oker Harim is somebody that may not have that same vast knowledge, but is very, very sharp and can really delve into an Indian more than the one who just has an encyclopedic knowledge. So Chanina Bar Chama was the person who was Oker Harim. And Rabbi Chiya was the person who had a vast encyclopedic knowledge. He was Sinai. And we have this machlokas throughout Shas, which is better. So here, we see that Sinai is better. That Rabbi Chiya was considered greater than Rabbi Chanina in this respect. So, Amalei Rabbi Chanina l'Rabbi Chiya. So, Rabbi Chanina said to Rabbi Chiya, Bahadi didi, minsis, why are you arguing with me? My Torah learning is greater than your Torah learning, because the Im Chas HaSholom, Nishtach, Torah, Mi Yisrael, If the Torah were to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, I would be able to go and recover it because of the pilpul, the tremendous charifos that I have, the tremendous intellectual capabilities that I have. I would be able to go bring back the Torah. Now, how does Ruchia respond to that? Only Ruchia, why are you arguing with me? Yes, you're greater in that you would be able to go and recover the Torah that was lost, but I would never let the Torah get lost. What I do, therefore, is greater than what you do. You could recover the Torah if it gets lost, but what I do is to make sure that the Torah never gets lost. And I thought, Lanias Dati, this is Rabbi Chia, also Rabbi Mitzvah. This is exactly what Rabbi Chia did. He would make sure that not only he learned Torah, but he made sure that everybody learned Torah, as the following story is now going to tell us. I know Adi, the Lomishtaka Torah in Yisrael, I would make sure that nobody forgot Torah in Yisrael, because what do? Daisina Kisna Vishadena. I go and get flax seeds, and I go and plant them, so the flax will grow. And then I take the grown flax and I make nets from it. And what do I do with these nets? The sayid no, I go and trap tabia. I go and trap deers. And what do I do when I trap the deers? I go and shech these deers and I go and feed the meat to Yisom who have nothing to eat. And what do I do with the hides? And I go make parchment out of the hides of these deers and I write Torah on it. And I go to towns that don't have any Rebbe for the little children there. Those children will grow up as Amaratzim. And I write five Chumashim. In those days, the Chumashim were written on parchment. So I write a Sefer Bereishis. I write a Sefer Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. Five Svarim that are Chumashim, literally a fifth of the Torah. And I put them on five different parchments. Umasnina Shiso Sidri Mishnah. And I do the same thing for the Shisha Sedarim of the Mishnah, and I teach it to six children. So he would teach five children the five books of Chumash. He would teach six children the six books of Mishnah, each one teaching one book to them. And Lekol Chad V'Chad, I relate. I tell the other one. I tell the one I taught Bereishis. Now that you know Bereishis, go teach it to the others. And now that you know Zeroyim, go teach it to the others, etc., etc. And Asne Sidrach L'Chabra, and go and arrange your teaching in front of all your other fellow Talmidim. So therefore, he would teach a certain number of students certain things, and then they would go and teach it what they learned. Now they were the Rebbeim, they would go teach it to the other students. And in this way, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah would never be forgotten. And now we understand, behind the Dhamma Rebbe, Kama Gadol L'Masichia. We see that Rebbe had tremendous belief in Rebbe Chia. He says, look how great Rebbe Chia is, that he would prevent the Torah from being lost. Amalei Rabbi Shimon by Rabbi. Now Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, says, Afilu Mimcha, was Rabbi Chia even greater than you, my father? So Amalei, get in. He's even greater than me. Now this wasn't the case. Rabbi Chia was a Talmud of Rabbi, and Rabbi was greater than him. But Rabbi was so humble. As we just pointed out, it says that when Rabbi died, so we brought down in the Tosos, that it says that Bot Lanova. So Rabbi was so humble that even though he was greater than Rabbi Chia, so he said, no, Rabbi Chia is greater than me. So along comes Amalei Rabbi Yishmael by Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yishmael, who's the son of Rabbi Yossi, my father, Afilu Me Abba, is Rabbi Chia greater than my father? Now, Rabbi held Rabbi Yossi, even though Rabbi was greater than Rabbi Yossi, he held him in great esteem. So Rabbi told the son of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yishmael, no, Chas Hashem, don't say that. Nobody should ever say that. Lote, because those people, nobody should say that anybody's greater than Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi was kofled in some ways to Rabbi Yossi. Even though he was greater than Rabbi Yossi, he was the Nasi, but he realized who Rabbi Yossi was. He said, no, Rabbi Chia is not greater than Rabbi Yossi. Finally, the Gemara says, Amar lahem, ani katan ani tzarich. So Rabbi then goes and says, go bring me and my youngest son back again, Shimon. So nichnas Rabbi Shimon Eslo. So Rabbi Shimon comes back in there. He says, Masalo Sidri Chachma. And he gives him over all the Sidri Chachma, all the various rules of Chachma. Again, certain parts of the Torah that he taught him. Different, Mefarshim explained different parts. There was the Maaseh Bereishis, or there was the Maaseh Merkava. In any event, Amar lahem, Livni Gadol Nitzarich. Then he said afterwards, go bring my oldest son. So Nichlas Rabbi Gamliel, let's also. Rabbi Gamliel comes to him. Masal lo Sidri Nisias, and he teaches him the proper way to be the Nasi. Amar lo, he says, Bani, knows Nisiuscha Baramin. You should go and conduct your Nisias. When you're the Nasi, you should make sure that you do it in a very exalted way. Rashi Dira Maskul Nog Nisiyoshu Biram says, Shitei Yoshe Ben Agdol, you should have all the great people around you. Then Rebbe further said to him, he said, Zerok Moro B'Tamidim, but at the same time, you should make sure that they have the fear of God in them. You should throw bitterness at them. In other words, they should be afraid of you. The Gemara says, really? They should be afraid of him? Yini, is this right? It says in the Pasuk, Yiri Hashem Yichabe, the Pasuk tells us that, and Tehillim tells us that the Talmidei Chachamim should be honored. You shouldn't put fear into them. The Alma Mar, what does this give us an example of? Say Yoshafat Melch Yehuda, the great Yoshafat we spoke about earlier. So he was the Melch Yehuda, and nevertheless, Kishaya Ro, Talmid Chacham, when he would see Talmid Chacham, he omed mikiso umechabko minashko. He would go and kiss them. He would go and hug them, and he would give them honor. V'kori lo Rabbi, Rabbi, Mari, Mari. We call them my teacher, my Rabbi. So how could you say that you should go and throw bitters at them? In other words, that you should make them afraid of you. When it says lo kashit, it's not a kasha. In public versus private. Habitzina, in private, so then you should give them tremendous cover. However, fahesya, when you're in public, so you're the nasi, you have to have a certain level of fear and awe about you, so then you can't go and treat them in the same way. You should make sure that they all should be in awe of you as the nasi. Now, we're in the middle of the sugya of Rebbe, but there's a good break point, but this will conclude today's shiur.